Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. In this hour, we'll hit the Major League Baseball card that we have today with some props. One of the best home run hitters of our lifetime owns tonight's opposing pitcher. And we'll get to David Perdom, bottom of the hour, the latest scandal in betting with Malik Beasley. That's going to happen in 30 minutes. And again, a little bit more from our VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide, which dropped today. You can get it right now at VSiN.com. Here we head out to the Progressive Guest Line as Jeff Seeley joins the program. Now we'll talk about the John Deere Classic, the next stop on the PGA Tour. Jeff, good afternoon. Thanks for the time as always, pal. How are you?
Great, fellas.
Okay, let's begin with the guy at the very top of the board.
You know it.
It's Paulie's best friend, other than Nate Schmidt, Ben Griffin. Look at this now. He has been, his golf game is so hot, and obviously the field take that in consideration. He's the short shot here, Jeff, at 16-1. The next closest on the board, Jason Day, Danny McCarthy, around 25-1. What do you make of those numbers?
Yeah, it's crazy. He's achieved like crappy field Scotty Scheffler status, right? I mean, it's kind of got to that point. So, I think he's the prohibitive favorite and should be. Forms elite, having finished 14th or better in six straight events, including a win, finished T5 last year. And so, honestly, guys, my favorite bet on the board is Ben Griffin, top 20. I found him minus 115, top 20. Like, I don't know how that's not your best bet of the weekend. That's just phenomenal. I mean, even if you want to just use some super simple stats on Griffin, I ran a quick, easy model. Look at guys who putted well and guys who make the most birdies. Weighed him 50-50. He comes out number one in that model. Third in putting and fourth in birdies. I mean, super easy to make a case for Ben Griffin this week in a crappy field, but that has a lot of winners at this event.
Paulie, you have to be in on that, right?
That's a great bet. That's a good find and a good catch. Absolutely. So it's a birdie fest. You know, 30 under is definitely possible here. How about McCarthy? What do you, 25, 30 to 1 range? And Mitch has recommended a little first round leader. What do you think of McCarthy's game?
Yeah, no, I mean, Danny McCarthy's, and he's a good first round leader bet. He's a good bet across the board, honestly. I mean, in what should be a putting contest, you want to have the best putter, and that's Danny McCarthy. I'm going to have a little bit on the outright, but I'll be definitely involved with him in the top 10 and top 20 markets. He plays well at shorter tracks. He finds the fairway. He has a solid wedge game. There's lots that fit. But, guys, what really jumps out to me is the three straight top tens that he has here. So the course form's elite, coupled with solid recent form, having finished in the top 20 in five of his last 10 events. So I love Denny McCarthy. I like a first-round leader. I like a top 20. I like a top 10 and a little on the outright.
Okay, let's work our way down the board a little bit here. Kevin Yu is around 35-1, plus 650 to go top five. And you like him this week?
I do, guys. Former number one amateur in the world, former Arizona State Sun Devil, won the Sanderson Farms in October of last year, but not a ton of people who are casual golf fans know about Kevin Yu. Earned over $2 million already this year after a T3 at the Amex, T6 at the RBC Canadian, and T4 at the Farmers. His strength is driving the ball, having gained off the tee in 9 of his last 12. He's clearly changed something with his putter because he's gained an average of 2 strokes putting over his last 4 events after losing strokes putting in 7 straight. So his irons have cooled off a little bit after gaining in 9 straight events, but if he can dial them in, putt like he did at the RBC, I think he'll win the event. And he was my second first-round leader bet I made after Keith Mitchell, of course, and I was going to be a contender again if the putter cooperates at all.
Luke Clanton is a name that people have told me before to make sure I have a bet on, and I never have actually bet him ever, not once, not in a placement, an outright, anything. But I understand why people are super high on him overall, and he's around 35-1 this week. And what is your betting approach with Luke Clanton?
Yeah, so guys, I mean, you talk about he's kind of the opposite a little bit of Kevin Yu. I mean, that not a lot of people know who Kevin Yu is. Everybody knows who Luke Clanton is just because of his pedigree. Number one amateur in the world 10 months ago, number one college player, played here as an amateur last year and finished runner-up after gaining 13 strokes tee to green and gaining in every category across the board. Game is perfectly suited for courses like this. And the Rocket, which, although he didn't putt well at the Rocket, when you nuke a drive and flip a wedge in, it's a great course for some of these younger guys. We're getting this price on Luke Clanton because he hasn't been great the past 4 weeks. So I'm going to take the discount while we can. For a guy with this much talent who has had success here, again, T2 last year, I'm going to ladder him. Top 40, top 30, top 20, all the way up the board.
Wouldn't be surprised if we had a big bomber here. It happened on Sunday. Make a case for a couple bombs and long shots, please.
So, yeah, our friend Griot is coming back into form here, guys. I mean, he's kind of the other end of Clanton. He's now in his 10th season on tour. And for years, Griot has always been one of those if-he-can-only-putt guys. But over the past 2 years, he's improved his putting substantially. He's actually gained putting over the last 18 months in 54% of his tournaments, which is not bad for someone who notoriously has not been a good putter. So sneaky good over the last 3 months, highlighted by a top 20 at the Impossible U.S. Open here just a few weeks ago. So another guy you can look at as a first-round leader flyer. I'm also going to take him a little bit on the outright, but I like him top 20 at plus 250. And I'm becoming a sucker for Sammy Valamaki. He reminds me a lot of Pat Geeter. They're similar in stature, but they're very different games. Sammy Valamaki, primarily because his irons and putter can get extremely hot. When he puts it all together, he can make runs. That's why I think he's arguably, for the price, the best first-round leader play in the field. And another very reasonable ladder play, given the very weak field.
Very nice.
His iron putting combo, guys, has been unbelievable. He gained last year 5 strokes on approach and 8 strokes putting here. And after what I saw at the Rocket, I'm in on him again this year at John Deere. So I like Sammy Valamaki 90-1 a little bit on the outright. But a great first-round leader play and another guy you can look at laddering.
All right. You brought up Pat Geeter. We mentioned him yesterday. What are we talking about here? 20 years old, won over the weekend, was in a playoff earlier this year, bombs at 327 yards on average off the tee. The talent there is just seeping through the television. Overall, what are your thoughts on him?
Oh, I think he's tremendous. I bet him a few weeks ago, and again, everything you liked about him, you would like about him again here. It's just the old, people don't bet a guy to win twice in 2 weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
I think Chris Kirk was the last one we saw do it just maybe 2 years ago. There's nothing to not like about him here other than the fact that he just won. So, which just seems kind of silly, to be honest. It means he's playing really well. So I don't even mind Pat Geeter, and I'm actually going to look at him in some matchups as opposed to betting the outrights, because I think that you're certainly not going to get any discount. It is going to be interesting to see how all the markets play him when all the matchups come up here shortly.
All right, we're like 6 minutes into this conversation, and you have yet to mention the name Jake Knapp, who you were all in on last week, almost pulled it off, shot 11 under, I think, on one of the days, lowest round of the entire tournament, and you're staying away from him this week?
Yeah, for whatever reason, guys, Jake Knapp has a tendency to have a letdown after having a really good performance. And I looked at his last several top tens that he's made a run on, and he struggled after that. And so, I mean, for whatever reason he has, it is what it is. He certainly grades out well. I'm not anti-Jake Knapp this week. I'm just not going to bet him pre-flop. Now, if I start seeing, the same thing I saw last weekend and he's running hot again, then I'll obviously get involved. But no, I mean, his kind of zigging, zagging in good and bad of tournaments, I think I'm going to stay off from pre-flop this week.
All right. You also live in Indy. Look, I mean, your Pacers almost pulled it off and won the title this year, taking Oklahoma City to 7 games. What was your reaction today when you found out that Miles Turner signed with the Milwaukee Bucks?
I was shocked because it was the Bucks. But B, when I sat down in a few hours and looked at some couple of things, it's really a 5-year, like $135 million deal because there's a player option that he'll exercise. And the Pacers passing on that makes sense. And the Bucks having to do it makes sense because they had to do something to keep Giannis happy. And frankly, like, Turner's defense was just not good. He can't get you a double-double because he's not a good rebounder. I love Miles Turner. He's a great player for the Pacers for a long time. What he did for the team was tremendous. I really like him as a person. It's a business decision, and I think the Pacers probably did the right thing from that standpoint. I wouldn't want to see them give him 5 years, $135 million.
Fair enough. You can follow Jeff on X. He is at Cutmaker Jeff, and his podcast is called the Cutmaker Podcast. Thanks, buddy. Good luck this week.
Thanks, fellas.
There you go. He was on the Progressive Guest Line. Paulie, we're getting a reaction from all over where people are listening and or watching the show today. This is from Willie. By the way, you can tweet the show We're on X at VSIN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Pauly Howard. He is listening on his daily commute in eastern North Carolina to and from Raleigh. He said it's Vegas hot out east. Summer is so overrated. What do you think about that?
Yeah, not overrated, but
no, come on.
Depends where you're at, though, too. I mean, I know the Midwest can be unbearable this time of year. The humidity.
Well, give me the dry heat, sure.
Damn mosquitoes. You know, we got lucky in Omaha. Could have been a lot worse with the heat and humidity.
This is from David. He is watching the show today, Panama City Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
He's from Indiana. He's watching, took a photo right from the beach where he's at.
Nice, a good photo.
Yeah. Tom, yep, watching every afternoon from Lexington, South Carolina. Good afternoon, Tom. Another one coming in from beautiful Sparks, Nevada. You have a history in Sparks, Nevada. You mentioned that 2 weeks ago.
The speeding ticket?
It's one of your 27 speeding tickets, yeah.
Yeah, 80. Remember, two in one day now.
That's right.
Now we're talking.
Don't forget
you
about
that
one.
That was great. Two speeding tickets in one day, right? And 80 and a 20. That was an 80 and a 20.
Oh, Jesus.
There were three cop cars that came out. Well, it's not, again, it's not my fault because it goes from, what does it go? 65 to 55 to like 20. It's ridiculous how they dropped the speed limit.
Right.
You know, you can't. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, too. David Baker's on the show, fresh off his fourth bracelet. Had it done, yeah.
That's great.
He won. He was sick. That's why he couldn't come on immediately after he's won. So, fourth bracelet. And they also talk about the controversy and what happened where a bracelet was not awarded at the World Series of Poker with some controversy. I want his thoughts on that as well. It'll be good.
Steven watching and listening to the show as he's checking out the Yankees game, Buffalo Wild Wings in Aurora, Colorado. All right, very cool. We'll get into
good spot.
Major League Baseball and some of the props along with the WNBA Commissioner's Cup coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So here's what I'm seeing on tonight's Major League Baseball card. We have the Padres-Phillies game. That's been postponed. The Tigers-National game. That's been postponed. And this just in, the Mets and Brewers also postponed.
Yeah.
And meteorologist Kevin Roth, who is very good on this stuff, tweeted out he would not be shocked at all if the Reds and Red Sox game also gets postponed tonight. That's three down, maybe a fourth one following. That'll eliminate those from the betting card, obviously.
I like the Phillies today. I wanted to play the Phillies.
Yeah, I had a lot on that game.
Yeah.
Pivetta on the road, not exactly the same guy that he is when he's pitching at Petco, I'll tell you that.
And the Padres cannot hit right now.
14
runs in the last six games.
Yeah, that's a problem. The Yankees are trailing the Blue Jays right now by a score of 4-2. I mentioned this a little earlier, but Judge has owned Gausman in his career, 14 of 41. That's a .342 career batting average with six home runs. On the day, Judge 2-for-2 with a walk. There's a double sprinkled in there. No home run yet. Jason Dominguez with a two-run single, the way it looks, to give him the two runs. But since then, it's been all Blue Jays here. And Gausman then settled down after an early shaky start. But Springer with a bomb. Jimenez with a three-run tater as well. Blue Jays on top, and you said this last hour, what, they're going to be tied for first with the win here?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
I think there'll be a game back.
Will there be a game back?
I think
okay.
So.
All right. Close enough. That'd be a 21-10 in their last 31 as they continue to get it done. And I don't know what's going on in New York between the Yankees and the Mets. The Mets have lost 13 of 16. The pitching staff's been horrendous. You had the players-only meeting, and that didn't work, and they got bludgeoned again by Pittsburgh. Tough what's going on. The Canning injury, bad. Both clubs in New York. You know, think Fried had been so good when they're coming off a loss, too.
Sure.
And they touched him up. So a lot to like, though, on the card, even though we have some games postponed. We got plenty of props to talk about as well.
Well, I want to expand on the Mets here for a second.
Sure.
Long term, right? Because, again, you mentioned this earlier. We had lunch with Irv today, who hit a what was it? He hit a straight flush last night?
Three-card poker, yeah.
Three-card poker? Okay.
About $800.
Nice. Okay.
Hey, Irv.
So he's a lifelong Mets fan. And we were talking about this, how it's worked for them, right? Because to begin the year, Soto wasn't exactly working out, and he wasn't lighting the world on fire, not really hitting the ball. But since then, that has turned around, and they were getting unbelievable pitching for like the first 2 months. And now they have injuries, or the pitching's not exactly standing up to where it was. And so now we're 3 months into the season, halfway there. right? What do we make of this team overall? Are they good? Like, I mean, they've been solid so far, but long term, are they going to be a threat like they were a season ago?
No.
They got to do something at the deadline if they want to be.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Will they? I don't know. I would hope so. But that it opens a door for these other teams. Number one, the Phillies are going to win the East. And then, I don't know, are the Mets going to make the playoffs now? Now, still, you're 11 games over 500, even though you've lost 13 to 16. But Brewers are good. St. Louis is good. Cincinnati's coming on. Tough loss last night. You get all those runs off Crochet and still can't win. And then what will the Padres do? And the Giants continue to be a major disappointment since they acquired Devers and can't hit. But doors certainly open now that the Mets have issues, and I can think the Phillies now with a two-game lead that the Phillies are going to win that division.
I'm also pretty convinced the Braves are going to make a run at some point. Now, is it going to be good enough
Really?
Oh, I think it's going to be in July. I think their schedule sets up for them to kind of go on a tear here. And if they don't, then the season's going to be a total flop because then you're talking about August 1st, a month from right now, and they'll be completely out of it probably at that point. So they don't make a run now. It's now or never, basically. And if they do that, they might be a team to threaten actually to make the playoffs because of everything that you just said. And the Cardinals, by the way, I think I mentioned this on the air yesterday. They have a lot of games against some of the worst teams in baseball remaining yet. So even if they're not that good of a baseball team, because I know I've had conversation with people who are not buying in, but the schedule might just be to their benefit where you can't ignore how many wins they're going to have at the end of the year, which could then obviously result as them being a playoff team. And I like the Brewers a lot.
Okay.
And the Brew Crew are good.
Yep. Good division.
Yeah.
And coming up, we got two games at 3:40 Pacific. What do you do here? Paul Skeens is $1.50. off one of his worst starts of his career.
Yeah.
He's 0-4 career against St. Louis in five starts with a 2.76. But as we talked about, historic what Pittsburgh's done. Four straight wins, seven-plus runs they've scored, and the opponent's been held to two runs or fewer. They've outscored him 37-4.
Well, here's the thing, right? And this, I will go back and bring up some of the best pitchers that we've had in my lifetime when they would go on these unbelievable pitching tears, and yet it's as if their teammates would show up and say, we don't have to get any runs today because he's going to be so good. If we score one, we're going to be all right. Roger Clemens did that. I mean, the 1 year in Houston was laughable. I think he had a below 500 record and barely won any games, and his ERA was below two. It happened all the time with Johan Santana in Minnesota. It drove me nuts. It happened with Randy Johnson almost no matter where he went. So is that something to where, like, the hitters have been so good lately? Funny how it's happening without, you know, Skeens on the mound. And does he take the bump today? And they're like, yeah, we get one or two, we're going to be fine. I want to expand on his numbers, though, against the Cardinals. You brought up the 2.76 ERA. It's actually better than that. His FIP is 1.88, 10 Ks per nine, almost a 30% K rate. The whip is 0.86, and he's allowed a 30% hard hit rate to the Cardinals as well. So it's not his fault that he's not winning these games. He needs a little run support here.
Uh-huh.
And will they get that against Pallante? Well, on the road in eight starts, his ERA is 4.6. The whip is 1.31. So I think the Pirates should, in theory, be able to get a couple across for Skeens today.
Well, you'd hope.
I got
a player prop here, and that's Tommy Pham, who's been on fire.
Okay.
He's hitting 440 and a seven-game RBI streak. 12 extra base hits during that stretch, what he's been doing. So that's one guy who's getting it done for Pittsburgh. You want to look at what player props tonight with that stretch. And then we got a Malinsky special. And I know our guy Irv's on it, and he bet the Twins. Joe Ryan's $1.30 in Miami tonight. Miami's won seven in a row. Just got off that long road trip. Swept the Giants, swept Arizona. They haven't had an eight-game winning streak since 2008. They're tied for the best record in the National League with the Dodgers going back. What is this? It's crazy. But when off a loss, Joe Ryan's 5-1 with a 2.90 ERA. Malinsky special, all back it. Twins get it done. Cash that ticket, Irv. The seven-game losing winning streak comes to an end. The Twins get it done, and there's a lot to like with Joe Ryan.
First of all, can we talk about the other team for a second here?
How did this what happened? How'd this come about?
Yeah,
I know. They were so bad. They got swept at home by the Rockies.
You know, if that didn't happen, think about this for a second, Paulie. If they did not get swept at home by the Rockies, the Marlins would have tied Houston for the most wins in the month of June.
Wow.
Like if they reversed it and swept them, they would have had 17 wins.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And what were they? 500-1?
Sure. Absolutely. Had to be.
It came out of absolutely
sure.
nowhere.
There's a lot of great stories. How about the Angels? I believe the Angels are the number one team in baseball ROI, what they've done.
I don't doubt it.
Game under 500. And the sure. Braves are $2 today against Anderson and the Angels. So a lot of great stories like that. But you're going to go with the Twins? You want to co-sign on Irv with the Malinsky special? Everyone's pumping their tires. Miami's won 7 in a row. Cabrera's been good. Come on.
Well, there was an ultimate Malinsky special last night that was actually yeah. worse than this one. And it was the Mariners going back home against the Royals, and they had no problems whatsoever with KC.
Uh-huh.
Kirby was good. Kirby yep. was really good in that game.
All right.
I'll bring up DeGrom.
Oh, boy.
Because the Orioles
this
have been
ridiculous.
What is?
What he's doing.
Okay.
8-1 with a 1.58 last 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then shut them down last time out. Strikeout machine. He has been, during this stretch, more strikeouts than base runners allowed.
Oh,
he's been filthy.
He's recorded 18 outs in 5 straight starts and 7 out of 8, at least that many, by the way. So 16 starts on the year. He has not allowed more than 2 earned runs in any of them since April 11th. And in 9 home starts, the ERA is 1.83. The whip is sub 1. But here's the thing. They're at home. Can you lay a run and a half with the Rangers? Can you count on that team to score that many runs?
Yeah, that's tough. I think for Brandon Young, they can. Real risky business, but I think they can get it done. Yep. And I don't mind Lau props again in Caminero with the race.
Caminero, my God.
He's hit a bomb 3 in a row at home, and a 16-game streak for Lau as well.
And I got to look that up. Isn't Junior Caminero like 21 years old?
Take a look. And then Baz is 5-0 in his last 7. So he goes against Springs and the A's, and the A's got him yesterday. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VEASAN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 try. $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. We complete the try with a free subscription through August 31st. $200 value, the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VEASAN. Head to VEASAN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Go get it.
Caminero has 21 bombs on the year, having a terrific season. Yeah, he'll turn 22 years old this weekend. So, and that team is, that team along with the Blue Jays. How about a no on the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Price to, to win that division. Give me the no on that. David Purdom on the program next from ESPN. Yet another pro player is under investigation for betting irregularities. We'll ask him about the details next here on VEASAN.
This is Follow the Money on VEASAN.
Paulie, yet another betting scandal with a professional player, and yet another NBA player. And to talk about it, David Purdom joins the program now, does a terrific job covering gambling and sports betting for ESPN, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. David, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. We now have 3 NBA players that have known to be investigated in the last 18 months for gambling allegations. Pretty concerning.
I would say so. So, this one seems to be a little bit more confusing than maybe the other ones. The Porter thing was just completely out of control, obviously, and he had a major problem and was completely buried. This one with Malik Beasley, though, it seems like it doesn't make much sense overall. Does that feel the same, like your takeaway as well to the whole thing when you're trying to put the puzzle together here?
Yeah, I've certainly been scratching my head as I've been reporting this out. Like, why was more of this not flagged earlier? It's been a year and a half since some of these allegations of the games, games that he was with the Milwaukee Bucks in early 2024, January through March. And I remember at the time there was a little bit of buzz, but at that time, the sportsbooks that had noticed it, they were like, well, these are all losing. The suspicious wagering that are making these odds move and coming in all on, under Beasley rebounds or whatever, they all lost. He would get over the rebounds. And so the books are like, I guess, nothing's going on here. And so that's where we are as we continue to look at this.
That is strange. And it flew over with one of the games with a significant movement as well. This is unfortunate. The Porter thing I could see where the guy wasn't making a lot of money. I can't believe the last two, at least the allegations with Rozier and Beasley, based on how much they made. And as you reported today and broke the news, we talked about it yesterday that he was on a prove-it contract in Milwaukee with the year this was under investigation when he was playing, making $2.3 million. You have more on the story, though, about financial issues. Can you fill us in on that, please?
Yeah, there was a lawsuit filed by his former marketing agent, Hazan Sports Group. They filed this lawsuit against him in April, and they're asking for $2.25 million in damages for breach of contract. In their court filings, they said, hey, we took a risk on this guy, a guy with, quote, known financial issues, unquote. And they said that they tried to get back a $650,000 advance that they had given him. Beasley had terminated their contract in February. They wanted to get their advance back because of that. And they said they basically he kind of stalled them and couldn't pay them. This is all according to the court documents in there. So it does not seem like he was Beasley was not as liquid as he needed to be to pay off some of his debts.
Wow. So is that the biggest red flag then? Because I know some of the, Twitter investigators were out there saying, well, look at this spot in Minnesota and it happened with the Wolves. And that's real fishy to me. And that was obviously before the 23-24 season with the Bucks. And that's also, it coincides with him taking an 87% pay cut over those 2 years as well.
Yeah, I get a little bit concerned about drawing any conclusions from those clips. I feel like if you were to go to any player, you could probably find a mistake or a lapse.
Well said.
Thing. What I do know is that when the sports books start moving these odds and trying to get the money to stop, and the odds move wildly and the money doesn't stop, these guys don't care about the price. They're betting it like they know the answer. That's a major red flag to me.
Yes, good points there as well. And you had this, you broke this as well with your reporting that the Rozier stuff, same accounts and the same people were involved with the Porter. Is there a connection here where the Porter bettors are any way connected to Beasley?
Nobody has come out officially and said there is. There are. It is coming out of the same jurisdiction. In the Eastern District of New York, are investigating Porter and Rozier. I would note that we know that according to sources, some of the sports books received subpoenas for betting records. So once they got those betting records, if you're the authorities, and I'm speculating here, but just kind of playing it out in our head, if you have these betting records and you go down and say, okay, this guy is betting on Porter, he's betting on Rozier, why is he betting on Malik Beasley, or whatever, if that's the case.
Yes.
So I could see that kind of all playing out that way.
Yes.
I want to know what the paper trail looks like here, because really the only way to get down on legal sports bets in the state of Wisconsin when he was playing in Milwaukee, David, and you know this, I'm sure, you have to go to certain casinos and then put it in like at the counter or at the kiosk, and that's it. So there's no app betting in the state of Wisconsin. So I'd like to know what the text messages are looking like, or any of the WhatsApp messages or any of that stuff too, to find out exactly where these bets were taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that you would assume that the feds have significant evidence to let this get to this point, with his attorney acknowledging that he is under investigation. I don't think the feds are probably just related on some screenshots or some videos on Twitter or some odds movement. They likely have plenty of evidence, so at least enough evidence to continue the investigation.
He was in talks for a 3-year, $42 million deal with the Pistons. He had a great season, and now who knows what's going to happen. That's on hold, obviously.
Yeah, it's just dumbfounding, head-scratching. You know, within days, free agent, our reporter, Shams, reported that, three years, $42 million. He was in talks with discussions, expected to get it, right? Free agency is going to come about, and then this investigation comes, and those talks are on stall. In that lawsuit, I'll add, that I mentioned from his former marketing agency, they had asked for an extension before they reached any sort of settlement because they were waiting on the free agency to see if he was going to get this and so they could settle. Well, now he didn't get it, so I don't know what's going to go with that.
Yep, good point. Good point. What is the latest on a story that seems to have been quiet and gone away? What's the latest on Rozier then?
Yeah, as far as we know, the investigation has continued. There hasn't been any updates. I talked to their attorney, or I messaged with their attorney, his attorney, a week ago, and there's just not any updates on it, but the case is certainly ongoing.
All right, and I know you were going back and forth on X with Raheem Palmer, pro bettor. If I put you in charge and you're running a sports book and a major sports book, how would you handle this? Low limits on the same game parlays? How would you do this with props and how they're so popular and then people are betting a lot, especially when they have information on something?
Well, my priority would be to protect the integrity of the game, right? If that is my priority, I can offer anything I want, but I'm keeping the limits low on things like player props, unless it's a marquee player or LeBron James in the finals of the NBA or something like that. Maybe I can extend a few limits. But things on regular season games with marginal players, my limits are very low, and I'm having some max payouts on my single game parlays that include props. So that's how I would approach it. I just worry that these massive menus that we're seeing where you can bet on almost anything and almost any player, fringe guys, gosh, it's almost incentivizing attempts at corruption, especially if you're able to get big limits.
And here's the thing, right? You can fast forward a year, probably not even that long, David. I'd make it a heavy favorite that we might be having you on this show again to talk about yet another player going down the same path.
Oh, I think it'll be sooner than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there, I mean, I don't know. That's absolutely crazy. And these guys are making, Paul, you brought up the Rozier contract, making a ton of money. It doesn't really, I mean, unless it's, you know, like you said, a guy like LeBron or somebody making just tons of money where it would never happen, you would think. Even somebody who's making $2 million, maybe even a little bit more than that, might, you know, think that this is a good idea, David.
It's very, very difficult to understand. And I can only talk in general. I don't know the specific situations around these individuals. But if there were a gambling addiction involved, right, when somebody is addicted to something and things, they're not making good decisions at that time and things are spiraling out of control. And that's one of the only really things I can think of where you would risk this kind of salary, this kind of job, just to bet.
All right.
Great job, my friend.
Yep.
Good to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
You too, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Well, a couple of things. That's a great point, too, about everyone with the Columbo stuff and gotcha. That anyone can have a bad possession, bad moment, bad game, right?
Oh, I saw multiple things come on. I'm like, okay, guys, settle down.
Right. But the other thing, too, is I lost my train of thought. Damn. Made another good point. But with this story, the bets lost.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's so confusing here.
It was under 2.5 rebounds, minus 150 to, like, plus 230. And he has six.
That's right.
So that's the other thing about that's Beasley's comeback. What are you talking about? All these bets, they lost. So, the weird story, and he's trying to get to the bottom of it.
I'm telling you, like, I subscribe to Tom Haberstroh's Substack. Mm-hmm. He had a very lengthy article. I got to tip my cap. He went back and looked at all the games that Beasley played in, and specifically some of these games that are under the microscope, right? And he attached some of the videos and the link. The dude's putting out max effort going for some of these rebounds. It doesn't
make sense.
The point stuff as well. He's calling for the ball. Like, guys, I'm open. Give me the ball.
Yeah, I don't know.
When unders were being bet.
Sure. We still don't know what's going on with Rozier, how that played out. And he was confident the whole time. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's still going on. Yeah. So. But that's a good point, too, about prove-it contract, and maybe there was something else going on in his personal life.
Yeah. Our NFL betting guide dropped today. You won't believe how many people are picking against this team. We'll tell you next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Coming up top of the hour, we'll get into some sneaky good moves in the NBA with free agency and some of the movement. Here, our NFL betting guide dropped today on July 1st. Welcome into the program. You can go and get it right now, vsin.com/subscribe, $9.99 for the guide, or you can become a full-time subscriber all the way through the Super Bowl. Everything we do for $175. Unbelievable deal. Every person picked the Bills to win the AFC East. I think that is, what would have to happen for the Bills not to win that division?
Allen gets hurt.
I think it has to be more than that, maybe.
Perhaps.
I said this earlier. I want to lay games for the Bills to win that division. I want to lay 2.5 and 3.5 games. Like, there's a path where they could be 14-3, and the next closest team is 8-9.
Yep.
I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
14 people out of 26 here at the network picked the Chiefs to win their division.
9 years in a row.
Man, and
you fade Mahomes at your own risk.
Did you pick the Chiefs?
I did.
I picked the Broncos, but
I picked Denver to make the playoffs along with the Chargers, but I have the Chiefs winning the division.
I can't get there with the Broncos being a Super Bowl team. You brought us something earlier today off the air that makes a lot of sense to me. Sean Payton's going to get talked about as a coach of the year bet to make. What's he going to do this year that was better than last year?
Yeah, I don't love it. I did point it out. Matt Brown got a better price, but that's for them to get that out of Knicks. And I guess you would say you'd expect a jump from Knicks, but for them to be a playoff team and how well they played, they're going to win. They have to win like 13 games. So that's, to me, it's not enough.
They have to absolutely, I think, win that division.
Yeah, I saw as low as 14 now.
Ugh.
You see, it's 16 right now at DraftKings. So Matt Brown got a much better number. But that's, and again, this whole market is fascinating, but completely out of whack because of the Vrabel and Johnson love affair. It's crazy. I don't mind Cohen at 14-1. I made the case for Bowles and Morris yesterday. But that's, you could probably have to win 12, 13 games. That's just, he's a good coach, and he did a great job last year. To come back and think,
I agree.
I'll tell you, guy, if they do it, you got to take a look at Campbell. If they're able to win that division with that gauntlet that they play and you lose both coordinators, I think I would look at Campbell, and that's a pretty good price.
Yeah, and he has yet to win it, right?
Yeah.
And he's been in the mix for like the last couple
of years?
He's
been in the mix.
At least? Yeah. I guess that would be to protect some other bets that you're going to make the other way, right?
And it's, he's a big number. Because remember, yeah, and then it was a couple years ago, Stefanski got it. But because he had five different starting quarterbacks that year, and he had Flacco fever. And what happened there? You make the playoffs, and the guy was on the couch 2 months ago.
Can you get there with Shanahan at 22-1 in that range?
No way. Too much talent. No way.
If they're the one seed?
Can't do it.
No?
Too much talent. They won't give it to him.
Voters won't. That's
now,
the key
the
here.
One
okay.
year, and they do a great job in the guide. They go back and show previous winners.
Oh, it's excellent.
It is. Now, one of those years, it was Harbaugh, and they were 14-2. It was only a 4-win increase. That would have to be chaos around the league, and you have one team that just stands out alone.
I also want to say that their win total that year may have been like 8.5.
Oh, was it that low?
I don't think it was a huge number.
Oh, okay. I don't recall.
I can go back and check that out, but
yeah, okay.
This is the tricky part about Coach of the Year is that you can, and I'll listen, right? I'll listen to like an argument from most of the guys on the list, or at least a lot of them. And to me, it comes down to like not overthinking it. And I'll tell you this, right? So it's tough to me for like Sean Payton, if he didn't win it last year, like
it's like Dan Quinn.
That's exactly the guy I was just going to say.
Yeah. What would Dan Quinn have to do?
They clearly have to win the NFC East. And I would probably say they have to be the one seed in the NFC. If he's going to get it this year compared to last year, when that's like, I mean, Exhibit A of what a Coach of the Year should look like. But again, like there were five probably candidates last year who were incredible dudes that could have won the award. You can only give it to one. That's the problem. And now, see, because like a lot of first-year guys have won it over the years, it's been a minute since like a first-year guy won it, I think, though. You have all those guys who are lined up who are in their first year with their new job, all the way down to Aaron Glenn at 15-1, who I want absolutely no part of.
Again, the Vrabel and Johnson thing's ridiculous. Those prices are crazy.
You know what? Don't laugh at this. If the Panthers shock the world and Bryce Young like has a full year like he was down the stretch last season.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
And they're a playoff team. I think the Panthers could go 9-8 and be a playoff team, and Canales can win the award.
Yep. I know Dustin made the case for Cohen at like 15-1. Big Ernie had a RBI single, and then Springer at a grand slam. So Blue Jays opening up a cam now against the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees just came back to tie it up at 4-4.
Yep.
Long gone. Now 9-4 Blue Jays. Okay. Is that Springer's second of the day?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Okay.
Other notes here. 12 people. Again, 26 of us made picks at from VSiN at the Pro Football Betting Guide. 12 of the 26 were on Green Bay. You're one of them to win the division.
Anti-Detroit. pro Green Bay. Not there with Minnesota. Williams and Johnson have to prove it. I like Ben Johnson, but I think it's going to take time. And now it turns out maybe some people were calling Caleb Williams a liar for this. They sat me down at front and didn't really coach me up on what I was looking at with film. Well, we'll see if Johnson can fix Williams. Certainly he had a horrible coaching staff to work with.
Can you explain what you meant when you said you can't get there with Minnesota? You mean just in terms of
winning
the division?
I think the Packers are better, yeah. And McCarthy's got to prove it to me, right? And I know O'Connell's a great coach, but also the quarterbacks let him down the previous year. Mullins kept turning the ball over, and then he panicked and benched him and then put the Hall kid in who wasn't ready. And the Dobbs thing was fun for a week or two. He's a great coach, but I don't know if McCarthy's there and can have that kind of breakout season. I think Green Bay's better.
Do you have Minnesota as a playoff team?
I do not, no. And that's why I asked you earlier about what's going to happen with the playoff teams and the wild card in the NFC, because I went Tampa to win the division. I picked Atlanta wild card. I picked Washington wild card. I have Rams wild card. I have San Francisco winning the division.
Uh-huh.
That's how I think it. So even though that was the best division we've maybe ever seen with the North, I think they take a step back, and a lot of it's schedule related.
How high are you on Michael Penix? Sounds like you're pretty
big
high.
Big time, yeah. Yeah, well, I know they're going to
really
score.
Good.
Right. They have plenty of weapons. I think he'll be fine. And the kid was great, showed a lot of poise, especially in the Sunday night game in Washington that they could have won. But it's, can they stop people? And the defense was a joke down the stretch. So it starts there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta wins 9 games.
No, I like Penix quite a bit. I think he's going to have – he has a chance here with their weapons to really shine. I just can't get there with the coach. And I was high in Atlanta last year. And my biggest, con was I don't like Raheem Morris. And they just, with Cousins was not clear, not ready to play. They should have plugged in Penix. First of all, what were they doing in the offseason last year? I mean, doing both those things, absolutely bonkers. But
right. Well, I'm also stepping out a little bit, taking a chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing with some of my picks, too.
And Atlanta's been sexy the last couple of years, too. Maybe they can sneak up on people. Problem was, everyone's liked them the last couple. Oh, look at the schedule. It's so easy.
I know.
Oh my,
and then, that's right.
And certainly they would have got there last year. The implosion, Cousins got hurt, and they blew the big lead in the division.
Yeah, I also think that collectively, too many people are high on the Bengals. And by that, I mean picking them. They're a playoff team, in my opinion. I think they're going to be super sexy on offense yet again. Hello, that's Captain Obvious checking in. But my God, did they do enough in the offseason to really overcome what was one of the worst defenses? Are all these players just going to flip all of a sudden and it's going to turn into a good defense? How are they close to Baltimore? I think there's clear separation between the Ravens and the Bengals.
Well, the games were close. They were two epic games.
Oh, that's fine, but I think the Ravens can win 13 games, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals can win, 10, 11, maybe? They're going to have to outscore their opponents yet again this year, and maybe some awards will come into play again this year for them. And again, if they make the playoffs, which I think they will, then it's a totally different ballgame and anything can happen, but I'm talking regular season here. I don't think the Bengals are nearly as good as what people think they are.
Got to prove it to me defensively.
You got to play both sides of the ball.
You also have to get off to a decent start, and you put yourself behind the eight ball every year. Good job by the league. Baltimore at Buffalo, Week 1, Sunday night.
That's
a great game.
That's incredible.
Rams at home to Houston, another good one. And I love the Steelers against the Jets, Week 1. See that news? They got Waller, Miami got Waller out of retirement to replace Smith. That's interesting. They gave him 1 year, 5 years. One year, $5 million.
Oh, boy.
Nothing? No?
Does absolutely nothing for me.
Thought it was odd, though, right?
That's exactly
retirement.
What it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get in on the action. First bet as you covered. Sign up now. Exclusive promotions. Bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. Promo code VSIN200. Get a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today. Firstbet.com. Go get it.
10 of the 26 are picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
I was one of them.
5 out of the 26 picking Baltimore. 3 picking Cincinnati. Those are the top 3 teams.
Got that, yeah. Well, that's the thing with Baltimore, though, too. I mean, Lamar Jackson, come on now. I mean, win a big game here. You keep turning the ball over in the playoffs.
Up next, we'll discuss the latest in NBA free agency. Some sneaky good moves have been made while others are making you go, That's coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.